It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona, where it is relatively not cold. I ain't gotten really hot yet. You know, I don't know who to believe, you know, on the global warming. You know, I by now it's usually been straight 110 degree days, and it just doesn't seem that. Yeah, you know, we'll check on that, you know, because they keep saying, oh, it's the record kind of, well, maybe where you're at, but not here, you know. Heck, I was last week, I was going golfing on last Sunday in Las Vegas out in the middle of the desert, and I'm going, hey, man, I remember dunking my head several times on 18 holes just to be able to make it. You know, we'll focus on that another time. Today, I have a special treat for y'all. I got Chris Lawless. Now, Chris is a freedom fighting individual. You know, he's out there doing good work for the cause. And it is, we have a short segment. I got you there, Chris?
Yeah, here.
Okay, this is a short segment. It's only got a couple minutes. So I'm going to, you know, tell all my Chris stories. And then when we come back, you know, then we'll go ahead and get straight to you. Because Chris, he is, for the past few years, has been in charge of the Liberty Forum, which is an event that they have at a resort in New Hampshire, near Manchester there, and they bring in all these great minds, and for days you'll have this just cauldron of freedom and discussion and debate and presentations, and a lot of it is about the people that are moving to New Hampshire. Now, you know, since I did Porcupine Festival, you know, we did a lot of shows on it last few days, and last week kind of talked about, you know, different people we've had on and so on that I met there, that they've been actually living this freedom thing. They're going there to express themselves in such a way that maybe it wasn't as acceptable wherever the heck they were before, or they just want to be left alone. They want to get under the grid. You know, they're going to New Hampshire in droves by families. Well, Chris was one of those guys. In 2005, he went to New Hampshire from California as part of the Free State Project. He worked on the Ron Paul campaign as a volunteer. He's one of the head guys, man. He was giving it what fur back in the day. And then, you know, he's in his town. He starts getting elected. You know, selectmen, you know, it's kind of a little town, so on. And said, yeah, you can go up there and wear the shiny badge for a little bit, and runs a taxpayer group, and it's just getting involved. And, you know, a bunch of stuff. It was all at Pork Fest. He was at the Porcupine Festival. They have Soapbox Idol. Guys get up there and give their three-minute rant, and he was one of the judges, along with Stefan Molyneux that we had on last week, and Gard Goldsmith, a well-known talk show host that had a show in Manchester years ago, you know, between Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. How the heck did a libertarian get in there? And he's a anarcho-capitalist libertarian, too. Government, what's that? So this is, you know, in New Hampshire, things have totally been, I don't know, there's an injection of a liberty infection there. And what we want to do when we come back, we want to see the beginnings of it. Chris is going to be able to share with us that, the beginnings of it. He was part of the beginnings of it. How has it evolved? Where are we going? Is it a place for us to go? Is it that beacon on the hill? Is there an opportunity to go somewhere and just be left alone and live free? Or will the man start, you know, showing up with the little curly things in the ears and the dark sunglasses and the black suits? You know, men in black everywhere? I don't know. We're going to find out with Chris Lawless from the Free State Project in New Hampshire in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You stare at there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Bunch of other people know too. You know, this is a very interesting subject because you're always looking for an example. Chris Lawless, tell me about New Hampshire, man. I'm going to go there because why?
New Hampshire's great for a variety of reasons. The number one reason is there's more liberty lovers every single day moving to New Hampshire. That's probably the number one reason to move to New Hampshire.
The number one reason is what?
We just have more and more people who love freedom moving to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project to live free.
Okay, now let me go ahead and you look at the statement of principles. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I actually just hung up the speakerphone and now I'm on a headset. Okay. Not a headset, a handset.
Okay, all right. That sounds kind of tinny. All right, now this is what we're going to do. The statement of intent. Now, this is kind of what you're asking people. Hey, you want to come here and anybody can move wherever you want. But if you want to be, you know, get your shiny badge with this Free State Project, you know, there's a statement of intent. I hereby state my solemn intent to move to the state of New Hampshire. Once there, I will exert the fullest practical effort towards the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. Okay, let's dissect that a little bit. All right, solemn intent. Okay, I pinky swear that I will exert the fullest practical effort. What does that mean?
I know people who can only donate money. There's other people who they knock on doors for freedom. It's really whatever you want to do. It's pretty loose because different people have different levels of ability and different people have different areas that they're interested in. So it's very loose on purpose to allow people to do what's in their interest. That's the best part of this. We're not trying to pigeonhole people into what activism they like. It's come to New Hampshire, and then you do the activism that you want to do.
Well, you know, a lot of times, I mean, in the beginning, I knew where this was going in the beginning. It was kind of, well, you got to run for office or you got to help somebody run for office. And the people that started Free State Project, this is all about political takeover and wear the ring of power. It's our turn at the lever. And, you know, I'm wondering how that evolved from that or to that. Or there's definitely a segment of people that would come there that's like, look, man, I wanted to get away from politics. Voting, you're still voting? I mean, then you have the people that, well, that's the only way to do it. And how have they reconciled? How do they work together? Do they work together?
There are like three major different groups of free staters. One, the cultures. They come up here, they get their guns and their gold, and they hide in the hills, right? And they have nothing to do with anyone. Another group is following the political group. They're either joining the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Libertarian Party, and they're getting involved at the state level or at the town level here in New Hampshire. And a third group are the agorists, or the voluntarists, who they say, you know what, I'm just going to live my life free, and if I get hassled, then I get hassled, and it's kind of a civil disobedience, and there's people who are just living their life and not asking the government for permission to do build or to get driver's license. So there's probably three different groups. There is friction between some of the groups, but overall, pretty much everyone gets along.
I'm wondering who is. Whenever I look at a situation, I always go, I just got one question: who is aggressing against whom? I mean, somebody always needs something from somebody, and they'll, you know, force or fraud or coercion or manipulation or whatever to try and get it, or your you know, mama's too fat and your daddy's too thin or something. I mean, you know, to try and get. And I'm wondering, you know, I would assume, you know, without being, I've been there like six times, you know, I kind of got a gist of what you were talking about. And I spoke at the Liberty Forum, the one you did last time. It went off very well. Thank you. That was a nice event. And the one thing that I see is that I go, you know, There's the agorist, which is kind of the free marketeers, the anarchists, the leave me aloneist, voluntarist, whatever you want to call them. They're not bothering anybody. I mean, they don't want to have nothing to do. And then you have the hill people that are like, hey, man, I'm really not bothering anybody. I don't want anybody bothering me. Then the political types are, but if you guys would help us do, we could, you know, kind of thing. And they're, okay, well, we want to go protest or we were not bothering anybody and they're hassling us because we're, you know, smoking a joint out in, you know, by our barn on our 5 acres, de la whatever, and they'll, you know, kind of resist that, or they go flooding town hall because, you know, some local gendarme is trying to get you to respect his authority. And I'm wondering, what is it the political side they would want from these people? They want them to stop doing civil disobedience and give them kind of a black eye in the media or something? Or do they want them to take the energy and help them, you know, put up signs or something? I mean, what is it that the political side wants the other people to do?
I would say, again, there's probably two or three different groups within the political side. There's someone like me who I am involved in some of the political side, but the agorists don't bother me at all. I mean, I don't expect that they, you know, one of them asked me if they could help me one day, and I said, I don't expect you to, because there's nothing, you know, I'm not going to ask someone to change their views and opinions and help me if they're totally against politics and not voting. I can understand that. There's some people who say they're wasting their time, and they should vote. And then you get into the old, what I call the debatitarians, right? The libertarians who are saying who's more, you know, libertarian than thou. I think that's counterproductive on both sides. And then there's probably a third set who said, it wouldn't be great if we can do some things together. Like the Fully Informed Jury Association. I think that's a great way where both sides can work at the same project without compromising their principles. The agorists can say, hey, you know, you should get these people off because they're not harming anybody. And the political people who believe in, you know, the jurors' right, that's something they can work on. So there are areas that can be worked on, but I think it runs the spectrum of where people say, you know, the agorist bothers.
Well, you have a lot of people coming in, like families. I mean, Chris Rye and Corey are doing a film. I thought that was very fascinating. These are the guys that did the movie For Liberty, How the Ron Paul Revolution Watered the Withered Tree of Liberty. This documentary is a fantastic documentary for anyone that hasn't seen it. It's been playing on PBSs around the country. It's now online free and high def. You just go for For Liberty, Ron Paul, and it'll blow up all over the place. So you watch this film, high quality, great production values, and they are now doing a film called American Descent, which is kind of a pilot they did for, they're working on for cable television, a series. And of course you have to go to New Hampshire. I mean, of course. Well, what they did is they, and we'll have Mon talk more on, about it, for, but the gist that I got of it is they followed a family from, how was it, Texas or Florida or something? I think it was
Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee. So Nashville, Tennessee, they follow a family up there and they go through. How much do you know about that family? Tell us about it.
I actually know Michelle and her family pretty well. She also spoke at the last Liberty Forum. She's kind of a well-known tax resister. She had joined the Free State Project years ago and then kind of forgotten about it. And then, you know, she met the guys from the Liberty Tour, Motorhome Diaries. And she kind of got reconnected. She came to Liberty Forum and she said, you know what, I need to move. If this is something I want to be around, this many people who love freedom. So she was not planning to move when she came here in March to speak. And then she moved up the week before Porkfest. So it's absolutely fantastic. She's already settled into her home. She's unpacked the boxes, and she's starting to get involved locally here in New Hampshire.
Well, she had a family, too, didn't she? How many in her family?
I believe she has 3 children that moved up here with her.
Okay. Does she have a husband or a significant other or just her and her children?
It was just her and her children.
Okay, so she comes up with her 3 children. And about how old are they?
I believe they're all teenagers. One of them is 18, and the other ones are, you know, 12, 14, somewhere in that range.
Okay, so we have a woman comes up. She's probably in her Late 30s, 40s. Yeah, okay. So she's in her 40s. She's a mature woman. She knows what's going on. I mean, she's this isn't like a starry-eyed just going up not expecting whatever. She's been in the movement, so she knows what to expect. She comes up, and she kind of chooses, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and put some effort in the political side of this. Or has she gone more agorist? What's her angle?
I believe she's more on the agora side. She's probably 90% on the agora side. Is that
what you're kind of seeing more of? I know in the beginning we followed this from the day the Free State Project would have vending tables at our Freedom Summits back in the day, 2003, or even earlier. And I'm, of course, the intent was to, we're going to go over and take over the state house and rule from on top of the heap. And I had a lot of questions about that and how this would roll out. And when we come back, we're going to have Chris Lawless going to tell us what is really going on and what the attraction is, because a lot it's increasing. People are going. We're going to find out why when we come back on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
My shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's in New Hampshire! Oh, you got to go to New Hampshire and find the love. Well, it's the kind of love that you're looking for. You know, peace, justice, truth, tranquility. And what used to be the American way, wherever the heck that was. Well, it's one thing that, Chris Lawless is here to talk about. There are people that are moving to New Hampshire just to try and find a little sliver of that freedom thing that we were promised in junior high civics class, saying, and where is it? Well, it's right here. So a lot of people are moving there and they are creating a free space around them. I mean, imagine the goal is 20,000 people to move there. And what if you got 20,000 people that have a 6-foot, radius around them that, the freedom be here. As far as I can, reach out here and, I can swing a golf club in front of me or something. I mean, that's my free area right there. Do that 20,000 times, all of a sudden you're starting getting a nice little chunk of freedom. So a lot of people are doing it in different ways. But I'm really interested, Chris, in the beginning. I remember it was a focus on, let's all rush in here and we're going to run for office and we're going to wear the ring of power. We're going to be at the lever and we're going to what? I mean, and then there are other people that are going, I don't got anything. I just go there and be left alone. If I can find a place, I'm good. And these were the friction started. And it seems like that's starting to even out a little bit. Everybody's kind of like, okay, you just got to let people do what they want. Give us the atmosphere, how it's evolved over the last few years.
I agree with you that it did start off as a political movement in many ways, kind of like a precursor to the Tea Party, but more of a libertarian bent, right? And when I moved, I was not really an activist of any sort. I moved, I said, wait, libertarians are going to do something rather than talk about something? So I moved 10 months after I heard about the Free State Project with my family, knowing that. And in the 5 years I've been here, I've seen it evolve from, I would say, a small group of 100 people. We now have over 800 movers. And it's probably split pretty much the camps of the political, and I would say small-L libertarian politicals. And then I would categorize the rest of them as the agorists. Leave me alone. I just want to live my life. I don't care what the words on the paper. The Constitution of New Hampshire is great as far as constitutions go, but the U.S. I don't even care about. Even though it's better, I don't care. I don't want anything to do with it whatsoever. So there's always slight friction on certain things, but I believe that cooler heads are saying, listen, you know, we can work together and we can kind of just live our separate ways but still be united in the Free State Project.
Well, that is, and why the project? I mean, you know, if I go, I can see the benefit of just having a communication line to other people that went there for similar reasons, but is it, I mean, does the Free State Project have a clubhouse or something? Or is there a special, you know, armband? Or, I mean, you know, if I'm with the Free State Project, am I pledging allegiance to something? I mean, what is it?
No, that's the very interesting thing is people always talk about Free Staters, but truly the whole idea of the project is to get you to move to New Hampshire. What you do after that is not in the name of the Free State Project, and it truly is what you like to do best. So there's no telling you who to vote for, which party to even vote at all. It's very much Free State Project is the whole idea is come to New Hampshire and work on what you want to work on.
You know, and that's the perception that the people there have. I would imagine that in the beginning, you know, they were looking, oh, here these going to come, they're going to run for office and do it. And I think it kind of might have been a surprise that there were so many people that came that said, look, you guys can do whatever. We don't care. We don't want to have anything to do. So how are the townspeople, the local politicians, the law enforcement, the, you know, what are they having to contend with? Are they trying to, oh, you will respect our authority? Or are they trying to negotiate with the political types? How is the interface with the current government there working? What is there a liaison that you have that's kind of the spokes, like you? I mean, you know, Chris, you're a, you know, nice, sweet, but, you know, tall guy, you know, that gets noticed. And I would think that, you know, you seem that you're very reasonable. You're pleasant to be around. I would think that they, you know, we'll go talk to Chris about it. And I would think that you would have some kind of connection to the establishment or the status quo there. And they're communicating with you. What are they communicating?
In fact, I have been reached out by several people. There are some people who say, you know what, we agree with you, but you can't be this or you can't be that. And that's where usually when the quote I love the most, and I tell them all the time is, because they know I'm a libertarian, I say, freedom is messy. We're going to get stuff even I disagree with, you know, and that's the thing that I think is the hardest for me to convey is just like, just because someone is a Free Stater doesn't mean we're all in a box and agree with the same thing. And that's the message that the establishment really doesn't get. That we're not a monolithic force, that we're 800 individuals, not one group of 800 people.
Oh, man, they don't know how to deal with that. When we come back, that's what I want to focus on, is how do you negotiate with a movement? You want to kill a movement, try to control it, you know? So we're going to try to not. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, one mission, one goal, about some freedom in New Hampshire with Chris Lawless from the Free State Project. Yep, freestateproject.org. Yeah, you go there and find all kinds of goodies and get all hooked up with the people that want to just be left alone. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which ones are you? Well, you know, Chris is a leave-me-alone kind of guy. And I want to start hearing about now, Chris, is, you know, you're going to have some guys that are – you rock their world. I mean, they were the top of the heap. Everybody had to go through them. They were the ones that wore the ring. They were the ones that were well-known in the community, that their authority was to be respected. Then all of a sudden, you got all these, you know, dreadlocking hippies, you know. Well, it's not that bad, but close, okay. They start coming in, they go, I don't respect any authority. Who are you? You know, I'm just, you know, whatever, do what you want. I'm not going to bother, but you know what? Ring not going to get kissed. And they can't stand that, okay? So when they are talking to you, they're expressing what? When you say, well, you can't do this and you shouldn't that, and the forces of all-powerful Oz will come down if you whatever, what is it that they're so concerned about? What is it that they're worried about that they don't want you doing?
I mean, you name it, there's all sorts of things that we hear about, but the key is that, and when, you know, I'm trying to explain how did the license make someone drive safer? Right? It doesn't. It's just a, you know, another hoop to jump through. And just saying that very thing, they're like, what do you mean you don't want to get a driver's license? Like, it's so foreign to them. The concept of true freedom is just so far removed. They're like, of course everyone should do this, and of course everyone should do that, that it really confuses them. Like, when they think, you know, they hear me say, you know, I don't really, gay marriage doesn't bother me. They say, wait, I thought you were conservative. I'm like, I am. I'm conservative enough to mind my own business. I don't care about anybody's other personal problems. It's me that I'm worried about. My actions, not two guys kissing, doesn't bother me, right? So that shocks their world that no, people don't fit into that right-left paradigm, and it confuses them. They just really don't know how to deal with those people.
Well, what is it they're expecting you? When they come in, they say, you just can't, I mean, what's on top of their list? You can't, well, I mean, it would be interesting for me to get in a conversation to one of the local politicos that would come up, well, you know, that's just not how we do things here. We do it, do what? I mean, I'm not really sure what it is that they're expecting you to not do. They want you to integrate into their society, which is composed of what? I'm just trying to get, you know, they got live free or die around every license plate. I mean, I don't know, but you got to explain to them.
So I think for, I would say, some of the politicos who have joined the Republican Party, they say, hey, you got to get on. And, you know, we have this pro-Bush declaration. This is, you know, back a couple years ago, whereas many of the politicos who were in name Republicans said, no, we hate George Bush. And they're like, what? You know, do you like Obama? Like, no, we don't like Obama. We don't like George Bush. Like, that changes their perception. Like, a lot of the political people are told, get in line, join the Republican Party, and follow that Republican Party line, whereas a lot of the Free Staters just don't buy that at all. Even the politicals won't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance in many cases, and that shakes their world. So there's a lot of that. And the anarchists, the agorists, just about everything shocks, you know, the political establishment, you know, that was here in New Hampshire. They just don't know how to deal with someone asking questions and being on camera. That's probably something that unnerves the people in power from the agorists. They like to film their recordings with public officials, and the public officials want no part of that. And it's really interesting to see how scared they are of sunshine.
You know, that's one thing that I really noticed a lot. Initially, they think that they're creating a stigma against someone by even having someone with a shiny badge and a uniform arrest them. You've been arrested. Well, some of these guys were like, well, you know, I haven't earned my activist stripes until I get arrested, you know, in support of freedom against some tyrannical thug, you know? And they go, yeah, well, I'm going to put my left jack boot, my right jack boot, or the jack boot on your throat party, you know, on you, and then you're going to comply or die or what. And the people are like, yeah, you just keep going. You just keep talking, and the film's rolling, okay? And it takes a while. It may take, you know, a couple of lawsuits, a couple of YouTubes, a couple of, you know, instances or incidents where they're showing just how stupid they look and going against people that are just, you know, want to be left alone. And then it's not like I think that they really change. Maybe the people do, and they kind of, you know, see from their perspective. They just get more sophisticated in how they deal with the agorist. And I'm wondering, are they starting to change? Are you starting to see the election to these small towns or to sheriff or the local police chief are starting to become more freedom oriented? Or are they just being more, you know, sophisticated in how they're oppressing them? I mean, what's the general feeling you're getting?
I think it goes in two. I think ignoring is probably the biggest thing we've seen. In many cases, we've seen the people who are smoking marijuana in the public, that they're just being ignored, which, you know, they're not arresting them, they're not hassling, they're just ignoring them. And I do think that some of the actions of some of the politicos are kind of pushing people towards more of the small government. I actually had handed out the law by Frederick Bastiat to all my selectmen, and, you know, 3 weeks later I heard one of them quote, legal plunder. So the smile on my face was huge. I'm like, wow, he actually read it and he gets it. So I do think we are seeing maybe an awakening. My biggest fear is that people are becoming, quote unquote, fiscally conservative because of Obama. But when they get their guy back in, they'll just be the spendthrift they were all through the Bush years.
Yeah.
So
I
that's,
know.
We're trying to get the people who can truly see the light. And I do think it's a continuum that the conservatives can become constitutionalists, the constitutionalists can become libertarians, and libertarians might become anarchists. So that's why I always look at people is not to fight my semi-ally, but to kind of bring them further along. And I myself have definitely, I would say, moved in the spectrum since I moved here 5 years ago.
Well, you know, of course you have, because you're a nice, sweet, intelligent guy. You know, that just evolves that way. Humanity marches on. You know, the one thing that, you know, is that joke. I don't know if you ever heard this. You know, it's a common thing inside, you know, libertarian circles back in the 90s. I remember they, you know, what's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? And the answer is about 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention. And it... And the reason is, it's like three election cycles. You go through three election cycles, and you're really serious about this, and you're going through, and you're going, okay, I get it, you know, freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. And a selectman, describe that to me. What town are you a selectman in? What does that mean? Is it, you know, coming with a $1 billion salary? Is it free? Are there two or three of you? What kind of decisions do you make? What impact have you had? Tell me everything.
So it's a small town called Hopkinton. It's a... about 10 miles outside of the capital of Concord, about 5,000 people here. Selectman is it's a board of five. People might know it as a town council. A selectman is from way back when. And we make all the petty little decisions that, you know, sign ordinances and, you know, salaries. It's kind of, you could call it five mayors. It's a board that runs the town that way. We don't get a vote on the budget. That gets in New Hampshire. That gets done at town meeting. It's actually a very unique thing in the United States, where the town, all those who want to show up on election day, show up in the high school gym and they line item vote the town's budget.
Well, who creates the budget to be voted on?
That would be the selectmen. The selectmen create the budget. It goes to the town meeting and they line item vote, like the police department, $300,000. You know, and you vote yay or nay, or you know, you might say no, zero. We might negotiate down $150,000. And we do that for all the departments. And the why that is great at New Hampshire is that's our tax bill. We don't have an income tax or sales tax, so we truly know what our taxes, our property tax is going to be once we leave the high school gym. So one of the things I wanted to do as a selectman was make sure we have a negative budget every year. I would love to zero it out, but I know that's not going to be realistic, so my goal was to just reduce it. So these past 2 years, we did reduce the budget 2% each year. And the funny part is we get to the high school gym and some of the townspeople increased their taxes. They went against the selectmen and they actually increased what we did spend, which was very amusing to me and shows that, you know, democracy is just tyranny of the majority.
Well, how is the influence there for such things? I mean, it comes from what? You know, the media, you know, mom with her soccer ball under her arm. I mean, how is this marketed? I want my taxes increased to do what? What is it that they're marketed that they think they need more taxes spent on?
Ernie, it's always for the children. We have to have it for the children. I heard that 1,000 times, is for the children, for the children. And you know, we've had people who stood up and said, I'll write a check myself personally, you know, to fund this, as long as you don't do it with taxes. And they still, no, we want it to be fair. And we hear the word fairness, and it's for the children is used oh so much. And a lot of times you'll hear for the employees. So it's a very funny situation when you hear, and it runs the gamut in this town.
I hear a sign campaign coming on. Save the planet, kill all the children. No, that'd be bad. But the you know, the one thing, the reason I say that, there was a friend of mine, his name was Greg, he doesn't live here anymore, I say Greg Tivnan, okay, and he moved to a farm in Missouri, and it was all this children thing all the time, and he was always, when it really first started in the early mid 90s, and he really had a campaign against the children. I mean, he was open about it. He helped go speak at schools. We go to different schools and speak on, and he did monetary policy and anarchy in Iceland and Scotland and so on. He kind of had a day on anarchy. And it was always like, you know, if the children's do it, they're the blame for this, well, then kill all the children. Then problem solved. Is that really what it is? Is it children's fault? Children, damn children? And he made a campaign out of it, and it made you think. You're going, really, are the children out there begging for this? No. It's not the children. They're being exploited and used as the excuse. So when you, so by doing that, his argument was, he goes, when you do that, yeah, of course, they're, you know, they don't like you for saying that, but they're going, well, hey, hey, it's not their fault. Oh, really? Then whose is it? It's the people advocating in their name. That's who's doing it. So that, you know, probably wouldn't be a good campaign. But the point is that there is definitely, it needs to be injected into their minds that they're not really doing it. Because what they're doing is I have my first grandchild, my second one is coming next month, and I already know that they are indebted in perpetuity for all this for the children stuff that they couldn't possibly pay back. So is there a campaign, a mantra, a philosophical axiom that you're trying to drill into them that's going to counter that kind of thought?
The homeschooling community is getting larger and larger in New Hampshire. So we're trying to kind of explore that avenue. And the other thing is we're saying, you know, if I pull my child out, then do I not have to pay? And that really gets them home. They're like, well, what about everybody else? You know, my grandparents paid for the high school, my parents, and then my parents paid for me. So, of course, I should, you know. So it is going to be a longer cycle, I think, to break that. And that's why I think many people are just not focusing on that. And they're just saying, you know what, I'm just going to homeschool my kids. And that's, I think, turning a lot of people to the agorist, just leave me alone movement.
Well, the homeschooling is becoming a lot more popular than I think people realize. Here in Arizona, it's very easy. You know, you just go, you know, I break with thee, and you throw dog poop on their shoes, okay, the government, and you say, I'm done. And you just, you know, go ahead and you go homeschool your kids. Well, that is growing, and they'll have big seminars or expositions, or they go to the Civic Center here, and it'll be, you know, 10,000 people a day for 3 days. I mean, it's just an enormous event to where people are going to get curriculum, and they meet with other groups, and they join a little online whatever, and they have, they're like schools. And that's one thing. I was talking to Stephanie and Mike yesterday, and they were saying that in New Hampshire, you have a lot of people that have moved there started to create their own little universities, you know, their own teaching, their own tours to homeschools around the state and people. And I'm going, now there is a real opportunity for some education. But New Hampshire has what kind of requirements for homeschooling? Is there some test you got to take or permission you got to get, a little permission slip or what?
You do need to file with them. We did have a free stater who actually, one of the first free staters moved, and she wrote a law to roll back some of the requirements. So that is a political win that we had there with the help of a free stater. And we do have to have curriculum sign-off at the end of the year. So it's, some of it's in flux because we're trying to change one of the laws, and there's some ambiguity on what exactly notifying them means. So that some of the staters are trying to have tests at the end of every year. But, you know, the schools themselves are failing, so what that test means nothing, right? So it the whole legislation is kind of in flux. But you mentioned the universities. There's also been an elementary school that's been founded by free staters. We have one free stater who's actually a teacher. Other free staters and locals are sending their kids to this man, and he's now their teacher. He has like 4 or 5 students, and he's their teacher rather than him going to an elementary school. So we're seeing a whole bunch of different avenues being pursued in the education arena that's pretty exciting. And once we get a few, you know, once we get a couple hundred more people, we're probably going to be able to see the expansion of this all over the state.
Oh, you're a threat, man. Big enough threat that it won't just come from the teacher unions or the government and everything in New Hampshire. Yeah, you're not going to be allowed to be a continuous threat to the entire concept of having government-run mandatory youth indoctrination camps. I mean, this is I can see where this is going already. So you're having your opposition is coming from where? I mean, is it a union thing? Is it a government thing? Is it a Washington thing? I mean, where do you see your opposition coming from?
Right now, I believe the opposition comes mostly, well, I wouldn't say left or right, because we do have Republicans complain about us and the Democrats complain about us. I think it's more in the political arena where people will see, you know, they know there's a group here in New Hampshire that they go to every single state house meeting, every single committee, and they watch what those committees are doing. And I think that scares them the most. So we've seen pushback there.
You know, when we come back here with Chris Lawless from the Free State Project, we're going to really, really Save the Children. Yeah, because we really care. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what are we fighting for here in Declare Your Independence? With me, Ernest Hancock. Truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, whatever the heck that was. What the heck was that, Chris? Chris Lawless from the Free State Project joins me from New Hampshire. And, you know, I hear that all the time, the American way. And you would think a state that has as a state slogan on the license plate, live free or die, you know, would understand what the heck that was. What is it?
I would say, live free or die, the American way, to me, is the old way of the individual. That's what made this country, you know, the giant that it was. And when we started forgetting about the individual and started doing the collective, I think that's where the country started going downhill. And it's the politicians that, you know, they're in bed with the big corporations and the unions, and they just don't care about us folk. I think it's really that simple.
Well, how influential is outside forces from New Hampshire inside New Hampshire? I mean, for a long time, it's a small state. It doesn't have, you know, enormous amount of money for any. I mean, heck, the whole dang state still is less than 2 million people, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's 1.3 million people. Our budget's relatively small, even, you know, for the population per capita. And we're normally the leave-alone state. We're blaming others, but we've always had a conservative government structure here in New Hampshire. And I think the war in Iraq, a lot of people voted against the Republican Party. They brought in the left jackbooted thugs and right jackbooted, and those people blew up the budgets to percentages we'd never seen. And that's where I think I'll have, you know, in some cases, the worst of both worlds instead of the best of both. So the outside influence is, people outside of New Hampshire are now seeing that New Hampshire is what's called a swing state. Sometimes it goes Democratic, sometimes Republican. So we are seeing outside money, outside influences trying to come into New Hampshire to sway the
Yeah, that's one of the disadvantages for being the first primary state, always first. You know, they get a lot of focus for president, you know, so you got the enormous amounts of effort and money. We saw it in 08 in our efforts to support Dr. Paul. And it's amazing how much, I mean, heck, they have an entire, you know, political-based presidential running economy that goes on there during that time. And I can see the influence because you're so close, you're on the border with Massachusetts and close to Boston. Has there been, you know, we've milked this cow dry, and now let's go ahead and move up to New Hampshire and go get them? Is that happening a little bit?
Certainly is happening a little bit, but it's one of the interesting things is the southern part of New Hampshire, the towns right on the border with Massachusetts, tend to be some of the most fiscally conservative people in the state. And I think it's the result of people are so sick of Massachusetts, they moved to New Hampshire and kept their job in Massachusetts, but they vote extremely conservative in New Hampshire politics. So in that way, it's kind of the opposite of what we would have expected. And in a long time, New Hampshire political person told me, it's not the mass holes we care about. It's the New Jersey, New York, and Washington, D.C. people that are really screwing our state over.
It's a very interesting experiment. I knew, you know, from just history, you know, how these things, they never go the way you intend. But when you're dealing, you're counting on individuals that would make the effort to pick up and move to another place, they're not doing it to be part of another club that oppresses people. You know, they just want it. They're trying to run away from something, you know, something that I guess was promised them is just to be left alone. So when we come back, you know, we'll have a short break here, Chris. When we come back, I want to talk about the future. I mean, the battles have already started to be engaged. You're starting to be understood a little bit. They're starting to understand the threat. The threat is between the ears. What influence have you had on the next generation, the young, the people that are already there and the ones coming? Because it's an infection that's spreading, and you know the bad guys don't like that. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with Chris Lawless.